We're thinking today of a little bit more about what it means to have a heart for God, a heart for God. And we've been thinking about that subject over the last couple of Sundays. And I suppose what I want to focus on and what I've prepared for this morning is to basically say that a heart for God brings us to seek God. A heart for God brings us to seek God. I just want to begin by just drawing your attention to a few verses, and hopefully they will come up. Let me just read a couple of slides here with a number of verses that speak about seeking God. First Chronicles, way back in the Old Testament, First Chronicles 28 and verse 29 says this, "And you, my son, Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." If you seek him, he will be found by you. In Psalm 14, verse 2, you get the same text in Psalm 53. Let me read. Psalm 14, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God." The Lord looks down to see if there are any who understand. Are there any who seek after God? And then the next two verses, Psalm 63 says this, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." And the last verse, Hebrews 11, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And so the theme this morning, a heart for God brings us to seek God with all of our hearts. And I suppose in many ways, when you think about this, one of the things that this leads us to think about this morning, and I do want to think about this directly and indirectly, is the whole subject of prayer. Let me read your mind for a moment. Mention of prayer. Do some of your hearts sink a little? Do some of your hearts droop a little? Because you know, never mind God knowing, that your prayer life is not maybe what it ought to be. You struggle to pray. We all do. We all do. Let me approach this in a particular way. The first heading, the struggle to seek God. A few years ago, and I know that these surveys are carried out, but a few years ago a survey was carried out amongst Christian people from Bible-believing churches regarding prayer. I'll not go into all the details at this point. You can ask me afterwards if you want. But the results were that many, many, many Christian people were struggling to find even a small part of time, a small time of the day, a short time of the day, to wait upon God in prayer. Just a few minutes each day spent waiting upon God, if that. And even amongst those who were leaders, struggling to pray. That can be discouraging, but folks, that's not a new problem. I don't have these words on the screen, but just listen to this. The words of Ezekiel 22, it says this, "I looked for a man who would stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. But I found none. I found none. Isaiah chapter 59 says this: the Lord looked, he saw that there was no one, no one to intercede. So why is it that we struggle to pray? Why is it that in every age we struggle to really seek God? Well, there are probably many reasons. Let me mention a few this morning, just quite quickly. The first one that I mention is our enemy. Our enemy. Many people today in this sophisticated age claim that they do not believe in a devil. Well, we might want to say to them, become a Christian and you will soon believe in a devil. Because one of the great aims of the devil is to stop us from seeking God. Did you struggle last week to seek God? Did you go through a week without honestly maybe seeking God at all? The devil has been at work. I've quoted these words, Samuel Chadwick, words that have been around for many, many years. The one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. Without making you feel too guilty, has he succeeded over these last weeks in keeping you from praying? The devil fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, he mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Folks, if you remember nothing, if you take nothing else from this morning, take that. He trembles when we pray. The devil is constantly at work. Sometimes it's our own limitations. A limited sense of the greatness of the gospel. We become too familiar with the gospel, and we need to wait upon God to allow our hearts to be renewed and stirred in the gospel. Maybe a limited confidence, dare I say, in the power of prayer. Does it really make any difference? Sometimes even Christian people can say, maybe when they're up against the wall. A limited knowledge of how to pray effectively. A limited sense that apart from the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. And we believe that in our heads, but in another sense, we don't really believe it because we feel we can do all of these things. But let me mention one other very practical thing that sometimes stops us from seeking God. Let me put it this way. Sometimes we do not seek God. Sometimes we do not pray because we do not plan to seek God. We do not plan to pray. Oh yes, in a sense we do plan to do it, but it never happens. One very eminent Christian leader who is still alive in our world today said this. He said, much praying and seeking after God is not done because we do not plan to pray and seek after God. The life of Jesus teaches us that he planned to pray. Mark chapter 1, it tells us very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a quiet place, a solitary place, and there he prayed. You see, it was planned. He decided, I'm going to do this. He went and he did it. Luke chapter 5 and 16, lovely little verse, a verse that you could almost forget and glance over so quickly. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to deserts and prayed. In the midst of all the busyness of life, and we all know about that, and I know about that, and you know about that, Jesus was so busy as well, and yet he withdrew to the deserts, and he prayed. We need to set time aside to pray. Maybe you need to put it into your diary. Maybe you need to put it on your phone. Time out to pray. Whatever it takes. And folks, again, in case you misunderstand what I'm saying, we're not necessarily talking about some big, long session of prayer. each day. That's not what I'm saying. I read this lovely thing recently. It was written by a man called William Gurnall. He was quite a famous Christian leader from a bygone age, one of the great Puritan leaders, actually, written a very famous book about the Christian in complete armor. And he said this: pray often rather than very long at a time. Sometimes it's nice to hear some of those things from the saints of old, because we sometimes can get the impression that all of them were literally hours on their knees in prayer at a time. Some of them may have been, but not all of them were. They were also busy people. And Gurnall says, pray often rather than very long at a time. It is hard to be very long in prayer and not slacken in our affections. So let's plan to seek after God. Just secondly, and keeping moving through this really quite quickly, there's a number of very quick things I just want to mention, three little headings just to comment on. Why should we seek God? That's the question. Why? Because we're commanded. Again, very, very quickly. You remember a few weeks ago I was talking to the children, gave them a couple of numbers to remember. I don't know if they've remembered them. 333, 1516. 333, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call upon me and I will answer you. It's a command. The way that it's written, it's a direct command. Call upon me. It's not a request. It's a command. Call upon me. Jesus said, we read it in the passage, and we're not expounding that passage today, but it's an example. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. It's a command. That's the sense in which it's written. The Apostle Paul, on many occasions, pray continually, he says, 1 Thessalonians 5. Devote yourselves to prayer, Colossians 4. Be faithful in prayer, Romans 12. Lift up holy hands in prayer, 1 Timothy 2, and so on and so forth. We are commanded, brother and sister in Christ. This is not something we can take it or leave it. You and I are commanded to seek God. We're also invited, if I can approach it slightly differently. We're not only just summoned to pray, but we're warmly invited into the presence of our Heavenly Father. I think of the text, Hebrews 4 and 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. It's an invitation to come. You and I are invited. What an amazing thing to think about, that in the midst of the busyness of life and all the things that you have to do this coming week, and you probably have 101 things to do. Well, here's something else, that you are invited to carve out some time to come into the presence of your Heavenly Father and to seek His face. Also, we can be moved. Let me read to you something. I just came across a book by Scotty Smith. Scotty Smith is a pastor from the United States of America, an American pastor, and quite well known in certain circles. And I just want to, this is actually a book. What Scotty Smith did was he found that when he was waiting on God and having his quiet time, he ended up just writing things down. And I just want to read you a couple of sentences. He says, loving Father, he's coming into God's presence. Loving Father, this is how he felt. I'm feeling many different things on this day. Images of horror and heartache in third world countries simply will not go away. People being loaded into trucks for mass burials. Infants desperate for medicine. Thousands of newly orphaned children. And here's what he says. And this struck me, and that's why I just share it with you. As much as I would like to tune out, numb out, check out, the gospel compels me to keep my heart present in the overwhelming distress and dimensions of this crisis. In other words, as he looks at those things and as he sees what's happening around him, he is moved in his heart to seek God. Let me ask you this morning, as you look out into the world and see the pain, the hurt, the anguish, as you maybe look on the TV and see Syria literally being torn to bits, and as you see the widows and the orphans, as you think of Darfur, that almost forgotten situation that continues day after day after day, as you think of the street children of South America, as you think of the sexually exploited girls and women of our world, as you think of the racism and prejudice that is on all of our streets, does it ever move you to pray? I'm sure it does. Because that's what the gospel does. The gospel is this wonderful message in how we come to know Christ. We see him dying on the cross for our salvation. We realize that we are sinners, that we need to be saved by his grace. We receive him into our lives, and we profess that we've been saved by the grace of God, but we are saved to serve and saved to live for him and saved to seek God, to pray, and to serve in our communities. That's what the gospel does. It moves us. We no longer can look at the images on the TV without in some way or other being moved to pray. More could be said, but let me come to the third point. Today, the struggle not only to seek God. Secondly, not only the motivations in seeking God, but thirdly and finally, the getting down to seek God. Just a few things as I come to conclude this. Strange as this may seem, folks, we learn to seek God by seeking God. Now, that may seem a play with words, but it's not. Just as a musician learns to play by playing, practicing, just as a sportsman or a sportswoman learns to play by playing, so we learn to seek God by actually seeking God. That is why the Puritans, many, many years ago, used to say this: pray until you pray. Pray until you pray. And some of you will know that experience, struggling to pray. And yet as you wait upon God, you begin to pray. Sometimes we have to be very practical about these things. As we come into God's presence, maybe you enjoy music, maybe you enjoy singing. Why not sing a verse of a hymn, a verse of a psalm, a verse of a chorus? If you don't like singing, why not listen to music being played just for a moment or two, then turn it off and allow that to lead you into seeking after God. Sometimes people pray out loud. Sometimes people pray quietly in their hearts. Sometimes people pray out loud because it helps them to focus. Sometimes people take prayers from the Bible and maybe a verse from the Bible and they just begin to read it to themselves and they allow that to lead them into prayer. Last week, you remember we were talking about meditating. Remember we used the image of how a few weeks ago in the cold weather, you stand at the fire or the radiator and you warm yourself with the warmth that is coming from the fire or the radiator. And that's what meditation is. You stand at the Word of God and you allow your soul to be warmed by what the Word is saying to you. You allow it to come into your system and it moves you to pray. Richard Baxter used to say that the one serves to put life into the other. In other words, as you read from the Word of God, the life of the Word of God comes into your soul and it moves you to pray. But you see, folks, can you see the point here? The point is obvious. If we rush through these things, that doesn't happen. If we say, oh, I must read this for a few moments, and then we're up and away, we lose out. We lose out. We learn to seek God by reading about those who have sought God. men and women. Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles. George Whitfield, Robert Murray McShane, George Mueller, Hudson Taylor, Amy Carmichael, from down the road in County Down, went to India. Isabel Kuhn, Helen Rosevere, who's coming to Annalong in a few weeks' time to help with their mission in one of the evenings. These are examples of men and women who have sought God. We can learn from them. We really can. So let me finish today as I say this. How's your heart for God? And in many ways, this is addressed to you. If you're a Christian this morning, are you seeking God in these days? Are you seeking Him? And you say to me, I'm terribly busy. Well, join the club. We're all terribly busy. Too busy to pray. Too busy. Too busy. And this is a word for you. It's a word for me. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. As I finish, folks, as the Lord looks down on the kingdom of morn in these days, what does He see? Does He see people rushing around doing this, that, and the other thing? And all of these things have to be done. But does He also see, in the midst of the rushing around, does He see men and women who are seeking God? Seeking God. Oh God, says the psalmist, You are my God. Earnestly, I seek You. God has so much more for us, folks. God has so much more. But it's only those who seek will find. May God move in all of our hearts. And in our church, God is speaking. What's He saying? Leaders, what's God saying to us? We need to discern what God is saying and seek Him with all of our hearts.